So what would you say the most important thing in your Christian life is?
Waiting for the Lord.
There we go. Yep. Salvation is the most important thing to becoming a Christian and being prepared for Christ's return would be the next most important thing as a Christian in our life. So that means that how many times, first let's ask the question, every day do you think about the Lord coming? Probably not, because we get busy in this life that we live and we don't think about it. So what God tries to do through His Word is to remind us daily that He is coming back after His church. And He doesn't just remind us daily to be prepared for that, but He reminds us daily to try to tell others about the preparedness that needs to be done in their life in order for the return of Christ as well. Now, the hard thing about telling others that they need to be prepared for the coming of Christ is a lot of times when we do it, we probably have friends or family and we see that they're probably out doing things that we wouldn't approve of, or we think they're out doing sinful things, and we tell them about they need to be prepared for the coming of Christ, but we kind of do it in a judgmental way. And Christ says that if you want people to listen to you about the preparedness of the coming of Christ, you can't be judgmental about it. Because you've got to remember that those who do not believe don't have the understanding that you as a believer has. They don't see it as something that is a necessity. They don't see it as something that is important. As believers, we see the coming of Christ as something that is very important. So therefore, we in our daily life, we prepare for that by showing or instructing others the importance or the necessity of that as well. So how can we better prepare ourselves as Christians for when Christ returns? Now, when I say Christ returns, it could be that He returns for us as an individual, or He returns for us as the body of Christ as a whole, because we don't know when He's going to come back and call the church out. We don't know when our last day upon this earth is going to be. So when we think about this, one of our first thoughts is, when we think about preparing for the coming of the Lord, or preparing to, let's say, when we're preparing to meet the Lord ourselves, we think that that's very difficult in our life, because I have so much that I need to do. How am I going to take the time to prepare for when the Lord comes to take me away? So, and the reason that it seems to be such a difficult task in our life, it's because of the uncertainty of not knowing when it is you're going to be going on to be with the Lord. So probably what did Paul say? Paul dealt with this uncertainty as well, and he said he prayed for two things. He said, I pray for the Lord's quick return, that I could just go with Him at any time, because I know that I'm going on to be in a better place. I'm going to receive the eternal promises that God has in store for me. But he went on to say, I pray that the Lord will let me remain here as long as possible so that I might show others what salvation is truly all about. How many of you have found yourself before praying at times when you get sick or you have an illness, worry begins to take over, and you say, "Oh Lord, just let me stay here a little bit longer because I want to see my grandkids grow up. I want to see my kids do. I want to see this. I want to." Paul didn't mention any of that. He said, "Lord, leave me here a little bit longer so that I might help others find their way to eternal life as well." So it's the uncertainty of not knowing when Christ is going to return. If you look in the book of Mark, and these are very familiar scriptures, but in the book of Mark chapter 13, I'll read this real quick. Mark chapter 13, verse 32. He says, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but only the Father." So we don't have difficulty knowing that we're going to go. Our difficulty is knowing when. That's where we find our difficulty. And the reason that there's so much uncertainty in knowing when is because all the time that you live here upon this earth, knowing that one day you're going to be going on to be with the Lord, but not having the certainty of when it is, we still have to continue to live our daily life in Christ just as if that time hasn't and isn't come yet until that moment arrives. We've got to continue doing the work of the Lord. So, why is it so hard to continue doing the work in the Lord even as believers? It's because we live in a world that humanity, and all of humanity, including ourselves at times, live our life just for today. Now, that doesn't mean we're not looking towards the future, because all of humanity that lives their life for today is looking towards the future. The problem is we live our life for today looking towards the future, but we never prepare for it. Never prepare for tomorrow or for the future that is coming. So that's why Christ, it is very important that He teaches us through His Word. It is very important for us to never doubt, first of all, that the Lord is coming back. We have religious movements today that once were taught and preached about the coming of the Lord. Now they teach and preach that we're going to stay here upon this earth through the 7 years of tribulation and go right on into the 1,000-year reign. You can see how easy it is to change your thought process when we begin to doubt and don't stay involved with our preparedness for the Lord's return. So the Bible says that we must always watch, pray, and be ready. So if we go to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to start with verse 11. And we're going to talk just a few minutes about the importance of being prepared for the Lord's return. So 2 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 11, it says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Therefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. So here's where we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school class about understanding. Here's where we desperately need to seek understanding from the Lord. Because in this passage of Scripture, it talks about a lot of things in just these few verses. It talks about your future right now, where you're living. It talks about the coming of Christ. It talks about the thousand-year reign. It talks about what happens after the thousand-year reign when the earth will be destroyed. It talks about the new heaven and the new earth. It talks about all these things in this one passage of Scripture. Now, why do you think that he put all of this in just this one little passage of Scripture, but didn't go on to explain it? First of all, he wants you to take this Scripture and search throughout the Bible for the explanation, for the understanding. But secondly, and most important, he put all this in here because he's trying to motivate us. Most believers have no motivation. And that's what we need as Christians. We need motivation because it's motivation to spiritual maturity. It's motivation to preparing ourselves for the coming of the Lord that separates us, helps us to separate ourselves from the sinfulness and the worldly desires that we find ourselves becoming a part of as we live our life here upon this earth. We need that spiritual motivation. So the Bible says we're to watch and we're to wait, but we're to watch and to wait with an eager desire and a great expectancy of what's going to happen or what's going to take place. That's how we're to watch and to wait. And when we talk about a great desire and an eager desire and a great expectancy, we're talking about those things that have eternal value. We'll sit around the house and we'll, let's just take the weather for instance, we'll pop that weather up on our phone 20 times a day because we're eagerly desiring and expecting what's going to happen next. I can tell you the only one that really knows what's going to happen next is God. So why sit around and wonder and worry about things in the world that's going to take place when God says our desire and our expectancy should be on His return? That's one of the reasons when the Bible talks about not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together. Most people think it's because God says you have to be in church all the time. Well, it's not just coming to church. It's the eager desire and the expectancy of gathering together as the body of Christ and talking about what? The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's the fulfillment of our salvation. If you go over into the back into the book of Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 58, he says, therefore, brethren, he says, be steadfast, be unmovable, always what? Abounding in the work of the Lord. Because this is God's desire for us. So in this particular passage of Scripture, there's five things that you can pick out that God says that we should be doing in preparation for His return. And those things are, the first one is, He says you should be looking for God. The second one is, He says you should be hasting unto God. The third one is, He says you should be diligently seeking God. The fourth one is, He said you should be coming as spotless. And the fifth one is, He says we should be living blameless in our life in Christ. So let's just take a couple scriptures and we'll take one to begin with, that looking for God. What does it mean to look for God? If you go back in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 22 verse 19, he says, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord. That there's where he ought to be. Everything that we do, he says we should be setting our heart and our soul to seek the Lord. He says, arise therefore, and here he's talking about building the temple, building the sanctuary, but to us, the temple, it's within us. So he says, build you the sanctuary of the Lord. Bring the Ark of the Covenant into it, meaning the Word of God. What's in the Ark of the Covenant? The Ten Commandments? The rod of Aaron that budded, that bring that in into your heart. And he said, then begin to bring the holy vessels unto God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. So this passage of Scripture might have been written at a time and a place for the children of Israel, but it has such a great significant meaning for us today because it was written to motivate. Everything that we look toward in the Bible is to motivate the children of God to devote themselves to God. That is where we fall short in our Christian life. Very few people are devoted to anything. When in our life, in the life as we know it that we live, in our life in Christ, we become devoted to something. Well, here is what we're going to do, and here's what we're going to accomplish. And as fast as we start it, we give it up. How many of you have projects in your house that you started 10 years ago, and they're still unfinished? We all do. Why is that? We're not devoted. We're not. Once we get it started, if we're not devoted for it, we lose what? Our motivation. And then it just never gets finished. We can apply this to our Christian life. If you want to be devoted, you have to be committed and put your complete attention and effort towards that. I'll bet you that there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people that made a New Year's resolution and said, this year I'm going to read and study my Bible more. We're talking about Christian people as we go into this new year, and probably haven't picked it up three times. We're not devoted. If we're not devoted, we lose our motivation. The second thing he says, hasting unto God. What is hasting unto God? That it's our sense of urgency. How many of us have a sense of urgency when it comes to the things that God has in store for us in our life? If you go back into the book of Psalm, the 143rd Psalm, starting with verse 7, he says, hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be liked unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee I do trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto me. So, now he goes on down through there. The first thing he said was, hear me. The second thing he said was, deliver me. O Lord, from mine enemies, I flee unto thee to hide. The third thing he says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. The fourth thing that he says, quicken me, O Lord. For thy name's sake, for thy righteous sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy cut off mine enemies, and I will destroy them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Hear me, deliver me, quicken me, teach me, I'll be thy servant. This is hasting unto the Lord, or showing a sense of urgency for the things that God has in store for us in our life. If you want to complete your service to God, pay attention to the leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit and walk in the pathway that God has set out for us to walk in. He's given us a pathway. He has put us on a journey, and the only way that we'll stay steadfast to that journey and stay on that pathway is by following after His grace, His wisdom, His knowledge, His understanding, which is His will for us. The third thing that he said, diligently seek after God. If you go over into 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, he says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence." Now listen to this. He says, "Give diligence to make your calling and election sure." S-U-R-E. I've heard people quote that verse and they say, God says to make diligence to make our calling and election short.
Sure.
Most of us do. Sure. S-U-R-E. It means to firm it up, to make sure as a Christian, even though sometimes we try, you cannot avoid your commitment to God. You just cannot do it. Because most Christians want to avoid their commitment, but they still want to claim to be holy and righteous as can be. And it just doesn't happen. No commitment means you're not effective. And if you're ineffective, then you're unproductive. And God wants us to continually, that's why He says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. He wants us to continually confirm our service and our relationship in Him. And not only do we want to do that for ourselves, but we want to do it so that others that are watching your Christian life might see and gain the same confidence. If you're not sure about your Christian life, others will see that and begin to doubt in themselves whether they want it or not in their life. We have to be very sure about our Christian life. Don't allow Satan an opportunity to give us a reason through temptation and deception to doubt or stumble in our faith. Because if you give him an opportunity, he'll take it. Okay, the fourth thing that he said in there, he said, becoming spotless. If you go into the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, starting with verse 22, it says, "Put off concerning the former conversation of the old man." And how hard is that to do in your Christian life? You had that old nature longer than you've had anything else, so it's very hard to do. It's like taking a habit that you've had all your life and somebody saying, you've got to quit that habit, it's destroying your life. How hard is it to do? Put off concerning the conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It all starts where? Up here, in your mind. You can do whatever it is God wants you to do, but you have to let the Holy Spirit get you to tell yourself, tell your body that you can do it. If you never tell yourself you can do it, chances are you're never going to do it. We have to have that encouragement, that motivation, that devotion that comes through the Holy Spirit. Remember that when you were saved, your new nature is of the same character, the same image, and the same likeness of God. You have that characteristic within you. I have that characteristic within me. So we need to try to follow after that characteristic that is within us, to become the image and likeness of God and His Son. If we do this, God has given every one of us as Christians, He has given every one of us the ability to make the right choices in our life. He's given us the ability to make the right choices. That doesn't mean that we're always going to make the right choices, because He also gave us the will to make the choices that we want to make. The fifth thing He says is to live blameless. Now, I didn't say to live sinless, because we can't live sinless, but we can learn to live blameless. So if you want to learn to live blameless, you've got to know what that means. What does it mean to live blameless before God? So if you go back into the book of Psalm again, the 15th Psalm, and He's going to give you a list of things here. Psalm 15, starting with verse 2. And here's what it takes to begin to live blameless in our life. He says, first of all, he that walketh uprightly, he that worketh righteousness, he that speaketh the truth in his heart. Now, we're okay with some of them. We can walk. We can work on those things that bring righteousness. We can work on speaking the truth in our heart. But then he goes on to say, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Who's our neighbor? It's not the person that just lives next door to you. It is everybody that God allows you to be a part of in their life. This is where the second of the two greatest commandments comes in. Thou shalt love what? Thy neighbor as thyself. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil, nor taketh up a reproach, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he that honoreth them that fear the Lord. So here we are now. This is more about how we treat others than how we're living ourselves. He that sweareth to his own hurt. Now, that when it says sweareth to his own hurt, I'm not talking about swearing. This is talking about taking the responsibility of the things that we do that brings about hurtfulness, not just in our life, but in the lives of others. And it says, he that takes that responsibility and changeth not. What did God say? I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. And that last thing is talking about how the Bible says that the three things that covers everything in our life is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So here he's talking about he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward. He's talking about how well do we become humble. How well do we overcome the pridefulness that's going on within us or in our life? If we do these things, we can begin to walk blameless before God. and not sinless, but blameless, meaning that we don't have to go as God as often and repent of the things that we're doing wrong in our life, because God helps us to begin to overcome those things in our life. So when the Bible talks about being prepared or preparing ourselves for the return of the Lord, it means doing and dwelling with Him now in this present day and being devoted unto Him. It means being motivated to continually walk by faith and have that relationship or that fellowship with God. It's the Christ makes us acceptable unto God through the work that we do for Him. That is what is acceptable and pleasing unto God. So that means that once we're saved, we were united with God through Christ, and God doesn't look on us now as being sinners. He looks upon us as having the righteousness of His Son. Christ went to the Father and said, "Lord, I'll take the responsibility for them." And that is how we are to live our life down here upon this earth. So we must seek to dwell according to God above everything else in our life. That means before anything that we see in our life that is of value to us, before any of that must come God. So you just think about the things in your life that you place value upon. Most people would say my kids or my family or this. God still has to be first. God has to come ahead of all of those things in our life. If we allow that to happen, then as we gain understanding, God will create within us a hungering desire to look forward to the Lord's return. But also with that hungering desire, He'll also create within us the desire to say, "Lord, allow me to stay here as long as possible so that I might help show others what salvation is truly all about." The more willing that we are, the more prepared we become. The less willing that we are, the less prepared we are. The more prepared we come, the more God will acknowledge within us and give us the strength to remain faithful to Him and faithful to the coming of Christ in our life. That's why that we read in the Word of God that the death of someone who belongs to Christ is a joy, because they've went on to be with the Lord. We have the opportunity to continue here to help see others come to that preparedness so that one day we all might go on to be with the Lord and live with Him eternally. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to You this morning, Lord, it's truly with thankful hearts that You've given each of us the opportunity to spend in a time and a place upon this earth to do those things, Lord, that is pleasing unto Thee. And we just pray this morning, Lord, that we continually look forward to and prepare for the time that we will go on to be with You, Heavenly Father. But part of that preparedness, Lord, is doing our faithful service to You while we live down here upon this earth. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, for the continued strength, the continued leadership, the continued guidance, Heavenly Father, to do those things, Lord, that would be pleasing unto Thee. We just pray that each and every day, Heavenly Father, that we would allow our light to shine forth, that others would see the goodness of You within each and every one of us, Heavenly Father, so that we would be able, Lord, to point somebody in the direction of salvation and eternal life. We just thank You, Lord, for every opportunity that You've given to us. And we just pray, Lord, that as we take those opportunities and we do those things that are pleasing unto Thee, that, Lord, will not to forget to give You the praise and the honor and the glory for each and every one of those things. Forgive us where we have sinned and fallen short of Your glory, Lord. And help us, Lord, to go throughout our day with thanksgiving and joy in our heart and serving Thee, Lord, above all else in our life. And all these favors we ask in Thy most precious and holy name. And amen.